I may have said this before, but it still rings true today. I am thankful that I am not one of the prophets from the Old Testament. Now, most of the prophets, and Hosea, if you're not sure who Hosea is one of the minor prophets, which means that Hosea didn't have quite as big an audience as Isaiah or Jeremiah, but they had no less of an important message for the people of Israel and the people specifically that they spoke to. And typically, any of the prophets in the Old Testament were unpopular people because they brought messages from God that said, you're doing a bad thing. You're not doing the right thing. This is what God has said. This is how God has loved you. This is all the things that God has done. And this is how you are acting. You are not behaving as God wants you to behave as God's people. And there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a punishment. There's going to be consequences for that. I am thankful that I am not one of the Old Testament prophets, because these people weren't popular. They were hunted down. They were killed. They were tortured. They were shunned. They had to live outside of cities. They did not have a good life. And enter into all of that, we find Hosea. Hosea, in particular, I would not want to be. Hosea, in his life, as you look at it, if you read more than what I've just read here, we're kind of doing a flyby of the first three chapters of Hosea a little bit here. Hosea isn't just bringing a message in these chapters. In the later chapters of Hosea, he does bring proclamations against Israel and proclamations against people and saying, this is what's going to happen to you in specifics. But the first part of Hosea's life is less to do with the message that he's bringing and the response that he's getting from the people he's talking to, and more about the life, the example, the image that his life is becoming of God for the people to see. You see, Hosea, if you're not aware of his story, Hosea was asked by God to marry someone who was going to be unfaithful to him. And Hosea, being obedient to God, said fine, and married Gomer. And in the first few verses of chapter 1 of Hosea, it says, and he married an adulterous woman named Gomer, and there's children involved, and it just, you read between the lines and it doesn't go well. And here is Hosea, who is marrying this woman, and he is faithful to her. He is providing for her. He's doing all the things that a husband should do and a committed relationship should do. And she is stepping out on him. And this is God's plan and purpose. And chapter 3, we find God saying to Hosea, okay, Hosea, you need to now love her and welcome her back, even though she has stepped out on you. God often, in his word, tells us the things that he is going to do. God often, in his word, gives us example and parable of what it looks like for his relationship with God, with his people and with us. In Hosea, God shows us, or tries as best he can, to give us a glimpse of just exactly what the pain is for him when his people are unfaithful. Imagine, if you can, the person who you have committed your life to, that you have been faithful to, that you are honoring, that you are giving everything you can to, is taking all of that and giving it away, including themselves, to anyone else, to someone else, because it seems like a good idea. And not only just doing that, but the words that we get in the early part of Hosea chapter 2 It's not just that Gomer has gone out. It's not just that the Israelites have gone out and prostituted themselves. It's not just that we look at God and say, "Hey, God, yeah, this is a lot of good stuff, but I'm going to go and do these things over here." They're holding on to God. Gomer's holding on to Hosea as the fallback. I can go out and I can do all of these things, and if it doesn't work out so good for me, I can just go back, because Gomer says, Hosea will take me back. Because the Israelites say, God will take me back. Because we say, God will always forgive me and take me back. And while God will forgive us, imagine if you can, the pain and the hurt that causes. And how would you respond? How would you deal with that in your own life? And this is where we find Hosea and the story, which is why I would not want to be a prophet. I would not want to be Hosea, but I have been. So I understand the pain. I understand what God is going through. But it is just a small glimpse of understanding. For I have only had one person. I have not had an entire people, an entire creation of people say, God, you're great, but look it over here. It's shinier. I'm going to go over to this side of the fence and try and have it both ways. And so when we look at chapter 2, which is where we're going to spend our time this morning, we see not judgment. We see not the story of what Hosea is doing with Gomer, how this all works out. We see a picture and an image of God pursuing people. That's why I've called it God's pursuit. The pursuit of God. And maybe I've not grammatically worded that well, but I like the sound of it a little bit better as it goes. It's not that we are pursuing God in this, but this is the pursuit of God. God's pursuing of us, and how it looks and what it looks like for us. And in this chapter of Scripture, more than any other chapter in Scripture, we get the image of just what sort of lengths God is willing to go through. What he is willing to take, what he is willing to put up with, to deal with, to absorb in and still pursue out of deep and unconditional love for each of us and for the Israelites. And we find this in Hosea chapter 2. And it starts with discipline. It starts with consequence. God does not just let us go and do whatever we want without any consequence. He doesn't say, oh, you went and did all these horrible things. Well, you know, that's okay. We'll just pretend it didn't exist. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen for us in our ways. We can't function that way. It doesn't happen that way for God. God says, you did this. There's going to be consequences that happen. For the Israelites, chapter 2 that we're seeing here, if you found Hosea, you might want to. It's early in the Minor Prophets, right after the book of Daniel. He's the first minor prophet there. So if you find Daniel, just skip to the end of Daniel, you'll find Hosea in the Old Testament there. He's talking to the whole of the Israelites, and he's saying, you have gone out and done these things. I've brought you to a land that is full of blessing. I have given you food. I have given you water. I have given you abundance in crops. I have given you prosperity. I have given you peace at some points. I have given you all of these things that have come. And you have gone out to the balls, and you have taken all the stuff that I have given you as blessings, and you have offered it to them. And then you have not only just taken and offered it to them, but you are starting to claim that you are getting these blessings from them. And so God says, I'm going to put a stop to that, so you realize that there is no one but me, and it's going to hurt you, it's going to cause you difficulty, it's going to stop you in your tracks. He says, I'm going to build a wall around you so that you can't go out and prostitute yourself to other gods anymore. I'm going to put a wall around you so that you can't go out and do the things you're doing. You'll get stopped partway through the thing. He said, therefore, There's two therefores that we're looking at. Verse 6 is the first one. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. God uses the Assyrians to do that. Not only is he kind of blocking the Israelites in from the rest of the world, but he is quite literally through armies marching through their country, putting them under control, protection, blocking the people's access to the high places of worship that they had been going to, and they cannot get there any longer. And that's the first step of the discipline. You will find yourself being stopped by God. And sometimes that stoppage, that wall is not pleasant. Thorn bushes are not nice. You will discover all sorts of problems that may arise. And it will be painful because you want to be over here and you can't get over there no matter how hard you try. And you will feel confined. You'll feel controlled. You'll feel like you have been imprisoned almost. And that is God's doing. That's part of the consequence, part of the discipline. Right? And then the next, therefore, that comes. And so then she will say, we will say, the Israelites will say, well, I can't get there. This is really getting too hard. But you know what? I got a sugar daddy back over here or a sugar mom or whatever. I can just go back to God. He'll take me back. I can go back to Hosea. He'll take me back. And it'll be like nothing ever happened, you know? It's like the cat that came back after being away for however long. Oh, great. Welcome back. No problems. That's the attitude that the Israelites would take. I'll just go back to God. It'll be fine. And God says that in all of that, she has not acknowledged that all that she was giving away, all that they were giving away, all that they were offering and sacrificing and claiming came from the Baals. It actually came from God. And so then we come upon the second, therefore, which is in verse 9. And God says, therefore I will take away my grain and the ripe vines and all these things. I will take all of this away. I will take away the rain. I will take away the sunshine. I will take away everything that is giving you all of these things so that you will know that the God of fertility and agriculture that you're worshiping has no control over nature at all. But it is I, the Lord, who does that. I'm going to take it away. So that you will then realize, this is what I have missed. This is what I have given up. This is what I have compromised. Because I want something else. The Israelites said, because this looked easier. Because it was attractive for whatever reason. I will take all of this away. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her nakedness. And so now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands, says God. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts. I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. We will be exposed for what we are. We cannot hide behind the things that God gives us. He will take them away. We will be exposed. And in that being exposed, people will look and say, wow, what a hypocritical people. What a bunch of people who just don't get it. I actually don't want to do anything with you anymore. And they will distance from us. We run away. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And so that safety net crumbles, falls apart in all of that. There will be no parties. There will be no celebrations to go and offer sacrifices to the Baals at. Everything that was once good will fall away. It will be as though the prodigal son, in the parable that Jesus told, where at the end of the money, at the end of the partying, the friends all left, the jobs didn't come, and this once popular wealthy young man is feeding pigs, which is about the worst possible thing a Jew could ever imagine doing, and wanting to eat that food because he was so hungry. Everything will be taken away. The second, therefore, I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. And that is fair. That is justice. That gives us a glimpse of the righteous response that God would have in his anger. That gives us a glimpse into his hurt. Gives us a glimpse into how he feels when we do these things. Big, little, or small. Gives us a spot. But it does not end there, because God is bigger than us. For most of us, that would be the end of it. I'm done. You're cut off. You're finished. There's no more. But God is bigger than we are. And in verse 14, we have the final therefore. And the tone changes. And the words change. And the mission of God changes. He says there has been discipline. There has been consequence. We need to understand that. We need to experience it. And then God says, I will call her. I will entice her. I will allure her. I will bring her out of all of this that she is doing. And I will take her away to the desert. And these are not possessive words. These are loving words. These are inviting words that God uses at verse 14. The tone changes. I will bring her away from all the distractions. I will bring you away from all of these things that have caused you to lose focus on me into the desert, where you're not going to have any distractions, where we can start fresh and new on a clean slate, because I am God and I love you that much. I will speak tenderly to her. I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. What a wonderful line of hope. What a wonderful phrase of God's pursuit of us. After all that we do, after all that the Israelites have done, God says, I will still go to the ends of the earth, and I will call you out, and I'll bring you. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will no longer call me master. You will no longer be afraid of me. You will no longer treat me as something that's up here like this. But God says, in that day, you will call me husband. We will be back to being partners again. In that day, forgiveness happens. In that day, God says, not only will we turn a new leaf, not only will we redirect where we're going, but in that day, I will remove the name of the Baals from your lips. I will take away all the things that you have been going through, all the things you've been doing. I will remove those things from you. I will remove the memory of them from you. In that day, I will make a covenant. And all the things, all the blessings, all the grain, all the produce, all the animals, all the things, all everything that I have caused to stop in nature, because I am God and in control of that, I will reinstate all of that for you. The rain will come, the earth will produce fruit, and you will then get that back. And in that day, there will be righteousness, justice, love, compassion. In that day, there will be a restoring of relationship, a full restoring of relationship. And that is something that we can only catch a glimpse and understanding of, because we as people are fallible. We as people would not be able to so 100% completely restore relationship with another person as God does with us. And in that day, I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. There's a moment and a period where God says, you're not behaving and you're going to get my hand of justice and wrath that comes into that. And in that day when all of this is accomplished and I have restored a relationship, I have brought grace and forgiveness into the world, I will then move from saying, not my loved one, to you are my loved one. And we get to hear that. We get to hear that. God loves each of us. We get to hear that God will say to those called not my people, and maybe they did that. Maybe God called it. Maybe the nations around them said these can't be God's people because look at how they're behaving and what's happening to them. In that day when whatever that phrase has come from, God will say, you are my people. And in that day, they will, we will, you will, I will say, you are my God. Not through anything that we have done so that we may boast, but in all that God has done in His grace and His mercy and His compassion and His great love for each and every single one of us. Because we have all, like sheep, gone astray. Each of us to his own way. And God laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So that in that day, we would be restored. We would be reconciled. We would be able to call God our God. And he would call to us, not just his people, but his loved ones. In that day. Let's pray together.